Father, we just thank you for your presence today. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your anointing upon this word. And Lord, quicken it into our spirits and help us, God, to have a deeper understanding of the kingdom of God. Amen. Many times we've received prophetic words that have said, despise not small beginnings. Has anyone ever had that spoken over their life or been reminded of that? You know, from small beginnings will come great things. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. As Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, he began to preach it in Matthew 4:17. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is so close to us. It's at hand. Look at your hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Your hand never gets too far away from you, does it? If it does, you're really in trouble. Hallelujah. It's right here with us. And Jesus began to talk about the kingdom of heaven. And even though he compared it in a couple parables that we're going to look at this morning, and even though what seems small and insignificant, it becomes great in the master's hands. Let's look at Matthew 13 and its scriptures 31 and 32. And I like it when we read it together, so let's read it together. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now, how many sitting here have ever seen a mustard seed? Have you seen a mustard seed? If you've never seen one, when you go to the grocery store, they have mustard seeds. Just look at how small that mustard seed is. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's trying to explain to them about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And Jesus used parables. Parables take an earthly illustration to convey a spiritual truth. And so he was using the mustard seed as it was so small. But yet that mustard seed would grow to be, this is the largest tree, I guess that really they're bushes, but they can grow to be like 10 feet tall. And when you think about that little teeny tiny seed, out of one little seed comes a tree that's 10 feet tall. So the key elements in this parable is the sower, the mustard seed, and the great tree that grew from it, and the birds that came and perched in it. And so the sower is Jesus himself. He's the planter. He came to die for our sins so that we could become fruitful. Because of his death, which was like a seed going into the ground and rising again, there's been a multiplication of the kingdom of God. The scripture says, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground, it abides alone. So there has to be a planting, a death, a burial for something to come forward. And when you think about that little tiny seed and you put it in the dirt, and up comes a little sprout. Does anybody here garden? I get so excited to watch those little seeds sprout up. And when you think about in that little tiny seed, there is so much potential. A little tiny seed can produce a plant of green beans that would fill your pot when you pick those green beans off that plant. It's amazing how God created the seeds of the earth for us to plant and grow. And he's using them as an example. The mustard seed was the smallest seed known at that time. And while it becomes more than a shrub, like I said, it grows to 10 feet tall. The mustard seed represents the gospel of the kingdom. And so he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the field represented all the people in the world. So the tree, the gospel, is rooted in Christ Jesus. And because Jesus Christ is our salvation, he is the place we go to for shelter. He's our strong tower. He's our rock. He's referred to many, many things. But he is a place that we can come and just sit and rest in his branches. And so the birds in this parable represent the nations of the world coming and sitting in this tree that was produced from this little seed. In the Old Testament, the symbol, a tree was used as a symbol for a mighty kingdom. And the birds would have represented the nations that were drawn to it. And so little things that God began has large endings. Little things that God begins has large endings. Amen? Amen? So Christ, let's think about Jesus was talking and explaining this to a very small group of people. He had 11 men that were afraid, they were frightened, and he's talking about this kingdom. And he's explaining to them about how small it is, yet how great it will become. By using this mustard seed as an illustration. Now we're going to go on to another parable. And this is the parable of the leaven. So let's read about it. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Okay, so when you think about leaven and you think about scripture, leaven really had a bad rap. Because when they were getting ready for Passover, it was required of the Jews to go through their house and get rid of every bit of leaven that was in their house. They had to completely clean it out of all the leaven. So normally when you think of leaven, you think of sin. A little bit of sin gets in your life and it begins to penetrate and it begins to rot and it begins to decay. So I'm sure they were surprised when Jesus used this as an example of the kingdom of God. So the main elements in this is the flour and the contrast to the amount of yeast or leaven that was put into it. It says a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. And when you do a little research on this, the amount of flour that they say that they would put this small amount of yeast into was, let me find my notes here, 18 bushels of flour. They were feeding a lot of people bread, weren't they? 18 bushels of flour. And they would hide, she would put leaven inside of that, and it would eventually leaven the whole lump. But of course you had to have water for it to produce the bread. So Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. It's like this leaven that's put into this flour. Now, you can't see the kingdom of God working on the inside of somebody. And when you, how many here make bread? When you put that leaven inside that flour, you put that yeast packet in there, you can't see it begin to work, but you see the results of it. Is that right? It begins to raise up. It begins to permeate every part of that flour when you add that water. Well, when you think about us and how the message of the kingdom of God comes into our hearts, into our spirit, it's like leaven that begins to penetrate into every area of our body. It begins to penetrate into every area of our mind. It begins to change us in every way. We are not the same that we used to be because we've received the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And it is that leaven, that yeast that's at work on the inside of us, the yeast of the kingdom. It's just a small little bit compared to how big we are. But think about the effects that it has. And how the kingdom of God is spreading across this world. Because the scripture clearly tells us that the kingdoms of this world belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know in the book of Revelations that his kingdom overpowers all of them. You see, if we'll receive this gospel of the kingdom into our lives, it will overpower everything about us. We're not going to be the same because Jesus transforms us and changes us. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. Come on, it doesn't matter what the doctor said because Jesus is the great physician and he has the last say. I like that song. Jehovah has the last say. He has the final say because his kingdom overpowers every other nation. The mountain of the Lord in the book of Isaiah 2:2, the mountain of the Lord comes down upon every other mountain. And last week we talked about the mountains of society and how there is influence in government. There's influence in family. There's influence in media. Have you been influenced this week by the media? Hello. 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 They are mind programming people. They say the same thing over and over again. And, you know, I know better than to get into debates, and I'm not debating, but every time I get a chance, I bring it back to the kingdom of God. You got to take it back to the Word. What does the Word say about this situation? How does God's government work in this situation? The government is upon his shoulders. Come on, there is no confusion in the kingdom of God. There is so much confusion out in the world, and that is the tactic of the devil to confuse people so he can just move right in. There's such a spirit of division that's been released upon this nation. And there is no division in the kingdom of God. And so when the Lord said, whose side are you on? I'm saying, I'm on the kingdom side. I'm not taking sides with what's going on. I'm not taking sides. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. And I know Holy Spirit's going to tell me what I need to know. I am not taking sides. That everything is divided up. America is a very competitive culture. We've got our football teams playing now, and then you take sides. They want you to take sides on the race side. They want you to take sides on political sides. No, we vote for who represents the kingdom of God. And the scripture tells us clearly that integrity will stand. And so if a person has integrity, eventually, because of the kingdom of God, that integrity is going to stand and they will win. It doesn't mean they're not going to be go through a battle, because we see the battle over and over again. And we see in the scripture that it is the march of the unqualified. Come on. Come on. God did not use a bunch of perfect people. Did he? To accomplish his purpose? I'm telling you, we might as well all go home if God only uses perfect people. Because we are unqualified. And so aren't we thankful that no matter where we came from or what we did, you know, you're ready to call your high school friends and say, hide the yearbooks. Hello. Yeah, at the next class reunion, everybody will be blacking out their yearbooks. Bring the yearbook. Regardless of where you came from, God does not hold that against you. If you've asked for forgiveness, you know, he washes that, cleanses that. You know, the devil is the one that keeps coming at you, trying to remind you of who you were, what you did, how you acted. Just trying to beat you up, beat you down. That's the kingdom of darkness. And it leads to destruction. But the kingdom of God, it's like that little mustard seed. It's growing. It's expanding. It's like the yeast that is in the flour. It's expanding. It's growing. And it is spreading across the world, because the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ. And it's not going to matter if you were Democrat. It's not going to matter if you were Republican. Come on. Come on. Don't take sides. I'm on the kingdom side. This is what the word says. And this is what I'm going with. Because the word of God is eternal. All of these kingdoms are going to pass away. But God's word will stand forever. It is the only thing, church, that we can count on. And we should not despise small beginnings. We do not despise small beginnings. We rejoice in everything that God has given to us and everything God has blessed us with. And we love and rejoice with our River of Life family. Because you are an amazing group of people. Yes, we are. Yeah, that's right. Tell your neighbor, you're pretty amazing. Jesus made it really clear how we enter into the kingdom of God. He said in John 3, let's read it together. John 3, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." When we come into this world, we're born of flesh. And our spirit is dead towards God. Did you know that? The spirit man is dead towards God. We need to be born again by the Spirit of God. There is a spiritual birth that takes place in every one of us. And all of a sudden, we're able to understand and receive that love of God. And begin to understand how great our God is. Up to that time, we just think about ourselves. Amen. Amen. Yes. We do. We just think about ourselves. We're selfish. But when we come into the kingdom of God, there is something that happens to us. That we want to love one another. We want to be kind to one another. We want to serve one another. We want to be a part of something that is much greater than what we are. And that is what we do together as the church, as the kingdom of God. The church is God's instrument in the earth today because we're a bunch of born again believers. Born again by the Spirit of God so we can understand the mysteries of God. We can understand the times and the seasons that we are living in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for times and seasons. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read our last scripture here in Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So with the heart we believe. With the heart we believe unto righteousness. We believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He is the only perfect man that ever walked this earth. He doesn't have to worry about his yearbook. He is the only perfect man that has ever walked this earth. Jesus. And when we believe he is the Son of God, and that he died and rose again, we confess these things with our mouth. We believe it in our hearts, and we confess it with our mouth. What's in our hearts will eventually come out our mouth. Eventually it comes out. You might try to hide it from somebody, but eventually you're saying it. What we believe in our heart, we will confess with our mouth. And it is by our belief in Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God, that he was buried and rose again, that we are saved. There is only one way into the kingdom of God. Only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. And he is available today. If you have never asked him into your heart, do that today. Make that confession with your mouth. And if you need to renew that confession, I encourage you, do it today. Don't let a day go by because you have no promise for tomorrow. I have no promise for tomorrow. When I was growing up, we always shared with each other, I'll see you next week, the Lord willing. Is that right? Is that scripture? It might be good that we remind ourselves of that. I'll see you, the Lord willing. Because Jehovah has the final say about everything. I did a funeral yesterday for a family that used to go to this church. They went here probably 7-8 years ago. And one of their aunts died suddenly. 56 years old, which isn't that old nowadays for a person to pass. But they remembered me and called me and asked if I would do the funeral. And I was honored to do the funeral. I was honored to connect back with this family. But it just reminded me how short our life is. It is just a vapor. And what this person did, I believe they were born in 61, died in 18. I said, in between those 2 years are a dash. What did you do with your dash? How did you live your life? That dash represents your lifespan. How did you do? How are you doing? Every day, God gives us a new day with new mercy. His mercy is new every morning. So we don't need to stay in the misery of yesterday, but receive what God has for us fresh every morning to make the very most of that day. And to make the most of being a witness for the Lord. Every week you get challenged to get out there and be a testimony. Get out there and be an ambassador of the kingdom of God. You are citizens of heaven. You are from another world. And actually, we are all aliens living here. Holly, we were doing a Bible study and Holly said she wanted to be the best alien she could be. We are aliens in this world. We don't fit in, church. And we're not supposed to. We are just passing through. And God has appointed a day for each one of us to leave this world. And when our day is come, we want to go. Hallelujah. We don't have anything to fear because we'll walk from this life into the next life. And forever be with the Lord. Wow. Wow. I think Patty said, well, I can't wait for that. God's waiting for us. But today, we're held accountable for what we do with today. Where much is given, much is required. And Gabe brought that out this morning. Much has been given to us as Americans. Much is required of us as Americans. And so let's all stand this morning.